Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
And I am the Dream Master.
Oh, I should have said I am the Dream Child.
Oh, and I... Wait.
And you would have been Freddy's dad.
Oh. That's not even the good one.
And we're playing with power.
Because it's horror show hot dog, brother. We're continuing our stroll through the Nightmare on Elm Street series, Las Mareas and El Calle de Elm.
Our stroll down Elm Street?
Yeah, our stroll that will become a slog for a bit here. Definitely some of the joy that I had last week was diminished this week because I remembered watching these before. But, you know, like some of it came out better than I remembered. So we got Nightmare on Elm Street 4, Patricia Arquette.
Dream Master? Is that the one?
The Dream Master.
It doesn't have a sweet Dawkins song.
No, instead, so Patricia Arquette was pregnant before this was going to be filmed, so they switched her out with this girl named Tuesday Knight.
Yeah, that drove me nuts.
Yeah, who has, like, she has a kind of weird moon face, and
she was a real poor substitute for Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, and... So she's just very kind of bizarre looking and sings the title song. Like, this has possibly the worst soundtrack of the set with her singing about a nightmare in Taylor Dane world.
Wait, was that the actress actually sang the theme song?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
I don't mean to be sexist, but it's clear that she was banging somebody involved in this production.
Right.
Because I don't think you hold an open casting call and go, yeah, you.
Yeah, that was
weird face.
My
here.
First note about this movie, too, is that it's just terrible intro music. It's far too 80s. And I think this was the one that I think overall was the most 80s dated looking, where it was just kind of brutal. The rest of them, like, they're clearly old, but they just were kind of that... There's that sweet spot where things don't look too 70s, but the 80s shoulder pads haven't kicked in, and that's where the first couple movies exist. And then this one just goes way... Oh, shit, everything's turning into pastel and fluorescent and hideous. Now, in 4, this is the one where... No, wait. Kincaid and Joey are still in this one.
This is the one where they decide that they took the characters that everyone loved from the Dream Warriors, and they were just going to fucking off them real fast.
Yeah, they did. Because, yeah, we get Joey and Kincaid get pulled into the boiler room with our new Kristen.
Right.
Oh, man. That beginning part, though. Oh, shit, Kristen! Just like...
That first sequence is pretty awesome, though, where she... ends up in the Elm Street house with the, you know, the tricycle in the house or the big icons. She goes out the front door and is back in the house, which is the fact that
that's
I always like.
Disorienting, yeah.
Yeah.
The house is even more grimy and creepy than it usually is.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the Kristen just can't let it go. And Joey and Kincaid are like, we fucking won, dude. It's
over.
Because
like, this must have been happening like on a weekly basis where they are just pissed now because they're like, God damn it, woman.
Didn't you ever just beam us into your wet dream? Like,
right, like, yeah. Like,
can't we just watch you get railed by close-set eyeball dude for a bit?
And like, well, just the, like, and then afterwards, she has the dog bite in her arm. What about this? My dog's like me. Bring him into your punk-ass dream. He gets wild. It's like, I love you, Kincaid. I really do. I think you're the greatest thing that's ever happened in the series.
Kincaid is pretty fucking great.
I wondered if they had recast Joey and then looked to see that, no, he just kind of grew up.
Yeah, he just looks a little bit different because of that. Yeah.
He's big. And the first thing he says, like, so, Kristen, you've dragged me into your dream. Like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was just smoking packs of cigarettes in between. Yeah. So, she wakes up, she goes into the high school, we meet her boyfriend, Nick, who's rocking a plaid blazer and vest combo.
Like I said, super 80s.
Yeah, very, also, well, see, I thought this is like with Slumber Party Massacre 3, where, like, you know somewhere Pearl Jam is practicing.
Right, yeah.
That outfit was a little on the cusp.
Right.
Of breaking into 90s. As a truly the 90s will soon be upon us, and then they go straight to... Debbie with her giant, like, butt rock fro, like, she looks like she should be dancing on Whitesnake's
car. Like, yeah, like, it's somewhere between that and, like, Peggy Bundy.
Yeah.
Like, the, by the way, I think it's the boyfriend is holding a Soviet psychology book, which to me sounds like someone said, he needs a really, like, smart guy textbook, because we want to show that he's a smart guy. So what class would he be taking? And they're like, well, Russian literature is supposed to be pretty obtuse and psychology is tough, so I'm holding a Soviet psychology book. What the fuck is that supposed to be? Like, that is the most made-up subject of all time. That's the book you'd put on your shelf and tell a girl you've read,
yeah,
and you'd know that she wouldn't have, so she can't call you on it. They meet Lisa Turtle with her ill-fitting glasses.
Yeah, her, so
how dare you say that's Lisa Turtle? Lisa Turtle's even hotter than that.
Have you seen her recently?
Wait, Lisa Turtle now is not hot?
Oh no, she got a whole bunch of plastic surgery.
No, really?
So she has the like puffy Lil' Kim face.
Oh no,
and she.
Lil' Kim is sad.
I mean, Lil' Kim, yeah. I understand since Lil' Kim was an ugly hose beast.
Right,
Lisa Turtle looked like Lisa Turtle.
Right.
No, she looks all puffy and fucked up, and she's super conservative Christian now.
Oh no.
Good thing that you've just kind of ruined my morning, so that's tight.
Yeah. I got some bad news for you about Elizabeth Berkeley, too. Nah, just kidding.
Yeah, no, I have...
She was all kinds of nude in a movie, and that was great.
This is one of my hang-ups, is that, like, when people are wearing glasses that clearly don't need glasses. Yeah. Because, again, like, the variable power of grenades and glasses in movies. She has these enormous, like, original Superman Clark Kent glasses on that ride so low on her nose that she's looking over the top of them, literally, through much of the movie. And it's like, your nerdy girl that needs glasses is not even looking through the glasses you put on her to show she's nerdy.
To be fair, she's barely in the movie.
I know. That just drives me nuts. Like I said, it's one of my pet peeves, so it's going to, like, irk me every time she's on screen, which fortunately is not a lot of times.
Yeah. And, you know, like, the thing is, like, but then we get our 80s stereotype characters, and then we get our, well, we can't get Patricia Arquette, so we're going to get rid of Kristen, but we got to find somebody who's worthy to replace her. And yeah, we get Alice, who I think Alice is a really awesome character.
They kind of took Sissy Spacek from Carrie and Patricia Arquette from Nightmare 3 and mushed them into Alice.
That's actually pretty good, because when Alice first pops up, I just wrote, like, whoa, Alice is cray-cray.
Yeah.
Because she is so damaged. But, you know, she becomes someone that's much more interesting as the movie goes along.
Right.
They do have that awesome karate montage, because it's the 80s with her brother, and I fucking love that song.
Yeah, that song. I was like, okay, finally we got something on the soundtrack I can hang with.
Yeah, so I was like, that was pretty good. Oh, before that, though, when they're at school, you have the awesome slashed locker.
And
the kids are just walking down the hall, and there's like the four glowing red rips in the lockers. Like, that's a really cool bit of business to just have that. You know, the characters aren't even aware of it. That's just there for us as the audience, and it's really, I thought that was really rewarding.
See, I was like, Jesus, somebody needs to call Amy Pond and the doctor, because there are like four rips in the universe now.
Completely outside of the movie, like, itself, I love Nightmare on Elm Street 4 because how Rennie Harlan got the job. Like, I think...
Do tell.
As a film dude, it's one of those moments where you're like, holy shit, that could be me. Because Rennie Harlan basically was like, wow, Nightmare on Elm Street 3 was awesome. I'm going to go campaign at New Line's office every day.
Oh, he's that guy. That's right. Yeah, that interview with him was great.
I'm going to go campaign at New Line's office every day until they hire me for something. Because he did a movie called Fortress that was like low budget but had a ton of visual effects in it. Because this movie is the first one that has like the real... This is like the advent of the visual effects becoming a thing in movies. You know, no, I mean, they're pretty bad looking, but they're still there.
Well, some of it still holds up pretty well.
So he campaigned really hard for like 4 months because they couldn't find a director they wanted for the amount of money they wanted to spend. And so finally they were just like, fuck it, just give it to the giant German guy.
Yeah. So basically it's the same as like the guy in the Judas Priest cover band who Judas Priest calls up when they kick Halford out for being too gay. And then later, like, oh wait, we like having a lot of money, so we're gonna hang with the gayness. So I was in the same way that I was not looking forward to the skeleton fight in 3. I was not looking forward to the flaming dog piss resurrection in this one, even though I wanted to make a death metal band called Flaming Dog Piss Resurrection.
I'd forgotten all about the flaming dog piss, and I was pretty excited when it happened.
But I thought like. It doesn't really explain at all why that would bring him back, but I think the deal was that the dog is just showing them that they fucked up burying him.
Yeah.
So what the dog's thing isn't like resurrecting him with his flaming dog pee. It's more, this is where the grave is, and here he comes out.
I took that much more the way you did, yeah.
And it's immediately followed by that bad-ass, like, body getting put back together.
The reverse melting scene.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Just so good.
By the way, Kincaid's dog is named Jason, which made me happy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And Rennie Harlan's like, yeah, we just did that just to kind of poke fun at.
Yeah, I think that Fred was just 13. Yeah, it was like very clearly like that's there for the genre fans. I like that. But yeah, the reconstruction is just fucking gorgeous. Like that holds up real well. Like some of the better like Evil Dead 2 effects and stuff. Yeah.
As long as you're keeping Freddy mostly quiet, this just continues to rock. Like the him coming out of the grave, you get the shadow with the fedora and everything. Like I said, the silhouette as distinct as Indiana Jones, just super iconic. And then having Kincaid get trapped and that pull out all the way to fucking space.
Yeah,
that's like and everything like, is junkyard. That was beautiful.
But you get that really sweet moment of like Kincaid crushing Freddy and being like, "Yeah, bitch," and you're like, "Fuck Kincaid."
I mean that whole sequence is really quite awesome. Just it's like we get to see some Dream Warrior-ness in action. Mm-hmm. So we get a call back to the first film where it's like, well, Kincaid's clearly going to fight him.
Yeah.
You know? So he crushes Freddy and he's just super excited. And then just the arm just punches right through and like everything else starts blowing up. And then there's that awesome, the fly out to space, but then like the hands out and like, Freddy's back! And then like the looping of it and it's just like, oh man, he's totally going to die, isn't he?
Yeah.
This sucks. And then just the... And this is, for me, digging Kincaid as a character, I really didn't like that it was just one big, like, softball pitch to his gut of a knife. I felt like that was a pretty, like, for everyone else in the Dream Warriors to get killed with, like, cool kind of Dream Warrior powers, Kincaid just gets a stab to the gut. But he does get the whole, I'll see you in hell and tell him Freddy sent you.
Yeah.
Before that, it wasn't played out for me. Like, I'd never heard that. Like, the bad guy be like, yeah, well, tell him Freddy sent you. Like, I'm known in hell, dude. It's cool.
Right. He's one of the few that can really sell that line.
Yeah.
Being from hell. Yeah, I liked it better than, like, this. Just a single stab is kind of weak, but I like that better than if he had, like, Freddy had suddenly grown giant muscle arms and said, you know, like, do you even lift, bro?
Yeah,
and
I mean, that's better than him, Super Freddy.
You know, yeah. Which is what they would have done in 5.
Yeah, and then right. I did make the note here that, yeah, Freddy just sounds different. They gave him a deeper voice for this movie, and he's also a lot more personal and talkative. Like, he's not just a guy that shows up and sort of kills you. He's a guy that knows these kids, so he's making more specific references to stuff.
Where 3 is the one that Freddy became a dude who banters, 4 is the one where Freddy became a national icon, a household name. Yeah. Like, this is the one that... This is the highest grossing of all of them next to Freddy vs. Jason. So in the original set, this is the one that's made the most money.
And I would say it's the transitional one where Freddy is quipping, but not so much that I want him to stop. And they're doing kind of crazy layering of dreams and looping stuff and being weird, but not so much that you want him to stop.
Yeah.
You know, like all of the seeds for what's going to happen to the rest of the franchise are in here, but it's still good. I love the... And another remembering as a child, the girl who's like fucking all kinds of naked in the waterbed for like 3 hours,
yep.
Like long enough for me to masturbate 8 times. But the naked girl in the waterbed, especially having just watched 3, where Joey's dick is a problem. Like Joey's dick is eventually going to kill him, and it does. And just having him be in the waterbed was fantastic.
That's pretty cool. I do like that.
I do wonder how his mom figured that worked.
That was something I had about that, too, is, like, most of these, they look like there's some kind of weird thing or just, like, what happened here. Although, I guess, like, Glenn's death leaves a lot to be explained. Right. But, yeah, that was one where, like, mom comes in and is suitifiably horrified, but then it's also, wait, how the fuck did you do that?
Like, well, it looks like your boy was tired of life and wanted to end it, so he crawled through the hole in the waterbed that you put the water in through.
Yeah. Like,
case closed. Yeah.
Your son appears... Has your son been liquefying himself? Because peer pressure for liquefaction is strong in high school.
Well, we get that very 80s moment where it's just like, this movie's hip and cool, because I wish you'd turn that TV off, and there's the MTV ad, and it's like, oh yeah, this is so delightfully mid-80s.
Yeah, and great. It is one of the old MTV ads where it's like the logo's a monster crushing down the street. Was that this episode?
Yeah.
One of the movies has that, and I was like, cool, they even used the monster movie version of that ad.
And he's got his, like, badass 18-inch TV with the giant cans coming through the the stereo system stack that he's got.
We end up with Robert Englund playing the ugliest nurse ever.
That was just kind of great. It took me a second. Like, hey, that's... Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he does start popping up, I think, from now on. He's in each movie for a second as something.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But holy crap, that's a hideous nurse right there.
Once he gets his... So, because of what you said last week, I've been keeping an eye on makeup.
Mm-hmm.
It is lamer in this one.
I think so, too.
Than in the first several. By the time you get to 5 and 6, it doesn't even look like they're trying.
No, by 6, he's pink. Like, he looks like chewed bubblegum.
They just put the Freddy mask on him and latex it on.
Yeah.
And instead of having it be super gnarly. But this is where I started to notice the makeup.
This one, he looks a lot more silly putty-y this one.
Yeah, totally.
Puffy. He's kind of puffy. He's retaining water.
I don't remember exactly what happened next, but my note is, God damn it, stop looking over your glasses, Lisa Turtle. So the kids must all get together at some point here.
Someday you're going to respect my motto, mind over matter. Well, that's great and all, but I don't understand what that applies to this scenario. Aren't you the smart person?
And I also have the note of, is all Kristen's dialogue done in ADR? I think this is the movie I'm thinking of where nothing she says seems like it's actually being said live in the room with everybody else.
The only line of Kristen's that I like in the whole movie is, unless you haven't been keeping score, it's his fucking banquet and I'm the last course.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really make any sense, but it's totally awesome.
It's a good line.
Well, it's like at a banquet where you're keeping score. I'm winning this banquet.
Yeah, I've had more plates than you.
Well, I'm just saying, I've won plenty of banquets in my time.
Right.
I just didn't know that was a sport that anyone other than I played.
Right. You crowned yourself the world champion by default.
I'm like a 22-time world champion. Like, no one ever like writes any articles about that.
I thought Kristen is actually just one of the worst actresses ever. Like, she completely pisses me off and pulls me out of the movie whenever she's being required to do something.
It would be a completely different movie if Patricia Arquette was in it.
I can't help but think I would have liked this movie a lot more.
She's a little more subtle.
Yeah.
Well, also, there's that whole adage, too, that when an actor is the identifiable face of a character you've come to care about,
yeah,
and then they change that, you feel kind of betrayed to begin with. And then when they change it for somebody who just sucks, it's even worse.
Yeah.
So,
although, like, Patricia Arquette, by the end of 3, is just kind of a machine that screams.
Sure. Yeah.
She screams all the goddamn time. She doesn't actually get to say a whole lot. But
yeah.
I thought this Kristen sells the, no mother, you just murdered me, take that to your goddamn therapy, after she gets roofied by mom.
Yeah, and I thought the camera work after she's drugged, she gets up into her room and the camera goes to the ceiling and is spinning one way while she's stumbling around the room is a really good, like, wow, okay, this is giving me the sensation of,
yeah,
holy fuck, the room is spinning and I can't even maintain my feet, and then she just collapses on the floor. I thought that was really well done.
Making me wish that I was not eating my lunch while I was watching
this. And then we get even more fun quips by Freddy, where it's just the, oh, why don't you reach out and cut someone?
Yeah, we get, because in her dream we get she's on a beach, and then we get Freddy putting on some Ray-Bans.
You're right.
And this is like, yep, Freddy on a beach once again shows it's never a good idea to show Freddy during the day.
Although I love stomping her through the sand. That was pretty awesome.
That was okay, I guess. I don't know.
He is, it's true that
I like
he is
the
like
80s
Batman
effect of, like, sand shark.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love the coming out of the ocean and onto the beach. That's super cool looking.
No.
But the it's true. Freddy is kind of like Batman. You don't have him come out during the day unless you're doing the, like, 60s cheesy.
Yeah, not a great idea.
Alice's, Kristen's death scene, though, is pretty tight. She looks, that unnatural, uncanny valley face looks even creepier when she's in the water all burned up and, tossing her dream power to Alice. Cool handoff.
Yeah, so yeah, Alice meets Freddy, and then we get the learning is fun with Freddy, and Freddy peeling an apple with his glove is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that is just super
fun. We could use more stuff that just reminds us that this is actually sharp.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's just a really fun, like, yeah, okay, cool. You just sit there and slice that apple up, and I'm going to go, that would creep me out if some guy not only had that glove, but clearly had the dexterity to do something like that
right
with it. That adds a little bit of, like, ugh.
You know what I found to be kind of odd, especially with the apple scene, is that it reminded me that it's a weapon, but we're 3 movies in and it's just kind of become a thing that he has. Like, it's not, you know, it's not being like, ooh, that's the tool he uses to kill people. It's just like, oh, that's just kind of like his gimmick. He has that thing.
It's part of his
like,
body.
You know, like, yeah. In one, it's like, that's whole shit. It's on. That thing's dangerous. And to a lesser extent with three. But by this, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's just kind of like the thing he has
yeah,
on
it is.
His hand.
It's, just, it's like Ash's chainsaw hand. It's just, it becomes like, holy fuck, he just put a chainsaw on his arm. And eventually it's like, well, yeah, of course he does. Like, that's just part of him.
I like... Yeah. The whole scene in the school where you've got the various layers of dream going on is really cool right up until the let's suck face and the kind of lame ass sucking the girl to death. Like, once it switches to her having an asthma attack, that's kind of cool, but
yeah,
the quip and the kill on that one's pretty weak.
That's pretty sad. I did make the note that her brother has the lamest run ever to go console Alice after Lisa Turtle's death, because he's like talking to someone outside of the school, and Alice is
talking to Dan, who's
Dan, that's
a
right.
major league hunk.
But he's talking to Dan, and then Alice is way, way, way in the background, leaning against a locker, kind of crying, and he talks to him, and then sprints like he's qualifying for the NFL doing a 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
Just, and he's gone, just poof. I'm like, that is insane. Like, he was running like Freddy is after him, and then he gets to him, and he's just like, that is just, it's far too much of a run for the lack of urgency that scene requires, that it just is the most comical thing ever. Oh, well, also, who falls asleep on the shitter? Was that...
Oh, that's
Rick.
Wannabe Johnny Depp.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Which, yeah, really?
That leads to such great switches from the, like, nice bathroom to fucked up bathroom to elevator.
Those are all really great, but I just had a real trouble with him just sitting down to take a dump and immediately falling asleep. I'm like, you know... Okay, whatever. But yeah, the transition from the stall to elevator.
Well, I mean,
is
the thing,
awesome.
they had established that he'd been up all night with Kristen, and then he'd been up all night with Alice too.
Yep.
So they I mean, did. I don't know. Maybe I'm not saying that it's likely. I'm just saying that there are reasons.
They did their best to make it seem plausible, but it's
this is the
yet.
One. This is the part that I get really sad about in this movie, because the lead up to where it goes is incredible, and the really sad part is this is the last thing they were doing, and they ran out of money. And Rick's death was supposed to be contained entirely to the elevator, and the floor continuously falls away, and he falls into like a pit full of Freddy gloves.
That would be
and
cool.
gets impaled.
That's a much cooler death than fighting yourself.
Right, but they ran out of money, so that's why he fought Invisible Freddy.
Yeah.
It's weird because it fits, right?
Yeah.
It's nowhere near as cool, but
yeah, it's just the execution.
It calls
of that
back
is
to him as the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear Freddy like, "You're the best around, Rick. Nothing's gonna ever get you down."
So we go to the movie theater.
Yeah, we find out that Alice is absorbing like the personality or some unique thing from each
right their power
person who dies, which makes her victory kind of dependent on everybody around her dying, which I thought was a cool
wrinkle. Yeah, she's the
wrinkle.
Last best hope. Yeah,
yeah, like, well, you don't want to, like, maybe you don't want to stop him from killing me because you're going to need all that shit to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
I like when she's practicing her nunchuck moves, and whoever dressed the stuntman didn't notice that Alice is ginger.
Right.
So, like, yeah. From the back, she's a brunette, and in the front, she's... Unless that's an 80s thing, where they're like, everybody wanted to have red hair in the front and brown hair in the back.
Be. Yeah. So, the movie scene, though, I did point out that, like, everyone in that town goes to the movies alone. Because if you look around the theater, it's a bunch of people, but each one is sitting alone, separated by a few seats.
Real, what, though, because she ends up getting sucked through.
Sure, but it's just, it's a weird thing. Like, it just...
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be.
Maybe. I don't know. That was odd.
I love that sequence.
That is a beautiful
Is that where
effect.
We get old, Alice?
Here's the thing that I love about the beginning of the movie theater sequence. I love that they built a sideways set to do the popcorn and the pop falling.
Yep.
I thought that was totally awesome. I love that they built a really big one and belted people into chairs to have her hanging out the side and falling.
I didn't notice how that was happening. I just figured she was on a wire or something until I finally looked at someone in the background who is very clearly just like...
Like white-knuckling it.
Yeah, like
struggling against gravity.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
But what... I mean, then we get a really cool... And this is where, like, the early days of visual effects, where you can still see where stuff that's simple still is a knockout, where she hits the screen and falls into the into the movie world.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
That was great. But the best part of the whole thing is when she looks out and everyone's clapping and it's all of her dead friends.
Yeah, that was neat.
That's good. I was like, that's great. What a great little way to do it. And there she is sleeping. And then, you know, we get into the rest of it and we get the Freddy pizza.
Oh, God, that's right, the Freddy pizza. Which, considering, like, the whole makeup inspiration, I thought that was kind of a cute little inside joke, if assuming that's what they intended.
Like, eating the meatball and everything is still, it's still a little bit disturbing, even though it's funny. It's not quite, like, Five's soul food for the boy, you know, like, it's just on the line. And by the way, Debbie's death is so gruesome, man, and it's uncharacteristically so. Jesus, all you did was you stab Kincaid, you stab Rick, you let Joey's dick drown him. Debbie, first you're going to break her arms, and then you're going to turn her into a roach, and then put her in a roach motel. Yeah. Like, seems like you're going through a lot of trouble here.
He's got a serious evil hard-on for Debbie, which is weird.
Yeah, it's weird, because that's one of the ones where it's the among horror fans, like when the series is discussed, that one is the one that's brought up as like the best in the whole series because of how in-depth it is.
Those elbow breaks are nasty.
Pushing the barbell or the bench press down over her arms until it hyperextends her elbows and snaps her arms is fucking disgusting.
Well, and then coming out of the roach coming out of her body is still a really cool looking thing to have happen. But you just know Freddy's going to say you can check in, but you check out.
Yeah, you can tell that there's a pun coming.
He said, like, I like Freddy in this as long as he's not quipping, and there's still enough time in this that he's not.
Yeah.
That it still works. I love the time loop that Alice just keeps, like, the first time it happened, I was like, did I just hit a button on the remote?
The first time,
like,
it's disorienting, cool.
Because they don't signpost it until, like, three iterations in where he goes, wait, I think we've already done this part. And the
he's
whole
got his
time,
traps. Let's go, and it's like, so your solution is to do it again.
Yeah, and they just keep going around.
We'll dig our way out of this hole.
We'll just keep on digging. There's nothing he could do about it. He'll never expect it.
Yeah. Now, is this where we get Alice's montage of, like, learning that she has powers? Right, that's all happened now.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dan gets Dan. They get in the car accident, which that really awesome truck wrapping around Invisible Freddy.
Yeah.
And Dan has to get taken to the hospital, and the Alice just, like, smacking the syringe out of the EMT's hand, and it's just like, he's allergic. Well, why didn't you say so?
That was the single smartest thing anybody's ever tried in the series so far, though. Instead of trying to go, don't let him fall asleep because there's a demon in his sleep that's going to kill him, everyone goes, fuck you, that's dumb, and I'm going to roofie you. She is like, he's allergic, and that saves his life for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some point here where Alice does a fucking A. It's super cute, because, like, she's just not that person.
It's when she gets all the pictures off the mirror, and she gathers up all the weapons, and then fucking A.
And I did make the note that, like, actually, post-transformation, Alice is really Mia Jovovich after, like, in Resident Evil.
Oh, sure,
she kind of becomes that character, which is, like, you're playing a tough guy badass, but you're clearly too frail to be one, but they're going to do our best to convince us that you are one, and it's like, that. There's a weird thing there that the two kind of seem about the same level of plausibility to me.
So she gets to have that really cool fucking Liu Kang fly kick through the mirror into the dream world.
And, yeah, so what, Freddy's defeated by a mirror in this one?
Yeah, she, like, shines the mirror.
Look at how evil you are. And he's like, oh, shit, I never thought about it.
Although Freddy does get the line where he's slamming her around and they're having that tussle, and then it's just, I've been guarding my gate a long time, bitch. Yeah. Just like, all right, fair enough, even though it's only been, like, 5-6 years. But it's cool, dude.
Yeah.
But no, he has demon sperm puppets in him.
Yep. That,
so he, by the way, he is eternal, you might have noticed.
Right.
I wasn't a huge fan of the like... So, I remember the last part of the rhyme. It's that I have to show him his reflection. Like, that was a little whack, but then having all the, like, limbs come busting
those
out of his body,
cool.
Like the
that.
Being ripped apart by the souls inside him was really cool looking.
And getting Linnea Quigley's boobs.
Yep, that was the next thing
movie.
I was going to say.
Inside of Freddy's chest. Yep. He contains multitudes, including Linnea Quigley's tits.
Yep. So, yeah, the...
And then Freddie raps over the end credits.
Oh, that's right. God, that was a thing. That was a thing.
Nightmare on My Street with the Fat Boys, correct?
No, the Nightmare on My Street was the Will Smith one.
Okay.
I don't think he's in any of the movies. This is the Fat Boys with the... What the fuck with Freddie? Man, fuck okay. with... I'm Freddie, don't you fuck with me.
Yeah. Tone is off in this movie for me. Like, it's... Three is kind of the pinnacle of the series to me. Four does its best to play off the same thing, but they do enough small changes that it never really hits the same level of, I don't know, I guess the stakes never seem as high because it's played off for comedy, and that which is just starts in this movie where you're supposed to laugh with Freddy, and that to me kind of takes the whole thing in a totally different direction. It's still fun, but it just, it's like, oh man, we just watched like those first three and I was super jazzed to watch more, and then I went, oh wait, no, that's kind of where the ones I really like end.
Oh, yeah. So, what do you rate this one?
I mean, it's like a, I don't know, six, maybe six soul meatballs
right.
out of ten.
This one I still like a whole lot, and it foreshadows all of the things that I'm not going to like very much about five, and then six is its a whole own special brand. But I still really enjoyed watching it. I like the twist that they take with the plot, and I like the whole business with Alice kind of absorbing her friends in the same way that Freddy is. So you get kind of a white version of Freddy's evil darkness. I would still hit it as like a... like a 7 out of 10 invisible karate fights.
Yeah, I still really like this one. I think it's... It and 3 are an awesome 1-2 punch. So I'll probably give this one 7 and 3 quarters roach transformations out of 10.
Should we jump right into 5?
Sure, we'll get right into number 5, the Dream Child. By the way, Master, the Dream Master would be Maestro de Sueños, and Dream Child would be Hijo de Sueños. I like that in listening to all the shows again to write down the ratings, that the response to the Spanish is like, oh, well, that's a good one. Like, oh, that one wasn't as good. Like, it's just a fucking language. Like, I can't control what Dream Child is. Like, Los Extranjeros. Oh, that was a great one. Okay. So this one was made on the quick and cheap.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, they started with a script that nobody liked, and then... Or am I thinking of 6? We'll get there.
No, 6. 6 has... They turned down an awesome one, but we'll talk about 6.
That's the one with Peter Jackson writing the script?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so this one is... They did have a rough draft of the script, I feel like, and then they had this dude come in and rewrite it, and... It is constantly struggling against itself.
Yeah,
pretty much. I don't know. It starts out strong. Close set, dude. Close set, eye, dude. Close set, eye. Feather hair, sorority. The yeah. house massacre, dude is fucking Alice. We get some nice out of focus nudity in the shower. It's great. Bold choice to have our heroine be naked for the first 10 minutes of the movie. Like.
True.
I'm down with that.
I do got to point out, though, if I'm taking a shower and nasty brown shit starts bubbling up out of the drain, I do not shove my hand down the drain. That is not,
no, that
my
never
first
happens.
Move.
I would get a, I would get an implement. We are humans. We use tools.
Get the fuck out of the shower.
I also think it's really funny that the sex scene, the body double for Dan is Super Freddy. They use that guy twice.
Awesome.
We get, she ends up in the asylum in her dream, and there's no makeup Robert Englund running
yep,
around.
Our obligatory Robert Englund cameo.
I get the feeling that he wanted more and more of his face in the movie as Freddy got more and more popular.
I'm thinking that's
entirely
true.
He's like, can
true.
You just let me fucking be Robert Englund for a little bit?
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing, is it's like, okay, if this guy's going to go start touring the, you know, the Fangoria circuit or whatever, like, I think you'd want to be like, oh, cool, now people can recognize me on the street as right. Freddy, because I want to get some of that sweet Freddy poontang. So I would assume, yeah, you'd want people to go, oh, no, that's the guy that plays Freddy right there. That's what he looks like. And so I would imagine his contract is I get X amount of money and at least my face shown leering at the camera for a couple seconds so people can point it out later.
Yeah.
Okay, so is it... Yeah, it's still Alice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Alice's... I think it's her bedroom. Has a pair of pants with a plant growing out of the top. in the background. You guys noticed that?
No.
Yep, that's, and it's not like a, because I was like, wait, is this a dream? And yeah. No, it's just she has a thing. It's like, you know, like the plant I have in the living room here, where it's like, you know, about 4 feet tall, and then there's a plant sitting on top in a vase, except hers is a pair of pants, and then there's a plant growing out of the top.
I didn't know that, but
and
I
that
want
is
it now.
The weirdest thing, and maybe the coolest thing ever to have in your room? I can't tell. Right. Like, you can tell by how high my voice got that I don't know what to think of that.
Sounds like positive points to me.
I kind of dig it. So, it was so, and every time, like, they went back to that room, I looked for it to go, was that really there, or was someone fucking with me?
Right.
Like, have I had that much to drink? But.
So they're definitely trying for 4 and 5 being two parts of the same story.
Yes.
Right, they bring back in like everybody's dad who's alive.
Yeah,
the
which
same
is a
actor,
lot of detail, which made that graduation scene really fucking long.
And but they introduce our new people, who you know, like our new Latina girl, our sex symbol, who's they're like gonna be a cover girl model with the crazy mom, and she's not really that attractive at all. But you know, we can let it slide, I suppose.
Sure.
Her mom, though, is just. I mean, Kristen's mom with her fucking andale was annoying enough.
Yeah.
But this crazy mom is in a different movie. She's in like a Hudson Hawk pitch level movie. Where, you know, Hudson Hawk is great, but everybody's mugging in that movie, and it's, it's a different style.
It's a different animal.
I like Freddy at this point is Fetal Voldemort.
Yes.
From Harry Potter series. This was probably another drink moment for me, but I love thinking that, like, J.K. Rowling watched Freddy's, you know, dream child when she was a kid.
Yep.
She's like, God, the evil thing being reduced to a fetus is so freaky, and then having him get reborn, like, dude.
Yeah, and then I have the note, little baby Freddy brings real Freddy back because movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't quite get that. So you dream that he's born, and then all of a sudden, Freddy's back! And it's like, what the fuck did that, none of those had anything to do.
The, like, leap of logic that I had for it was in 4, she didn't actually kill him, she just contained him to inside of her own brain.
Right.
And she's in control of that, of the Dream Master. So, now that she's pregnant, the symbol of her baby has, that she's in another one body, Freddy can now use his unborn baby dreams to fly around.
Yeah. And they talk about that when the baby's dreaming.
So that was my, you know, and again, that's, you can take that for what it's worth, but that's how I figured it was more of a symbol of she is now with child, so Freddy now has an extra exit out of Alice's body.
I'm going to call that satisfying enough for the movie we're watching. That's fine.
Yeah,
I can accept that.
If you're willing to just kind of go with that.
And at this point in the series, we just have to kind of roll with these.
Well, like, the parts of the movie that are cool play into that. So, like, being able to get into a dream sequence at any time with Alice being awake is a neat thing
to
be able to do.
It's a fun device,
And having the whole, like, Amanda Kruger with her baby, and now Alice with her baby, and the whole power struggle going on inside her womb, which, all of that shit I really enjoy, and so I'll let that go.
Yeah. So we have the...
I also like, by the way, that the super comic book nerd, the incredibly hot model girl, and the jock all hang out.
Because they're all friends,
because
Saved by the Bell taught us that's a real thing. So they're all at their break into the school with beer pool party or something?
Yeah, or the party is allowed to be at the school,
or
but
something.
They didn't know they were bringing beer.
Yeah, which just made me have to go, damn, I do miss the late 80s, early 90s swimsuits, because that's totally where I came into, like, my prepubescent sexuality. And I was like, ah, oh, God, this reminds me of some
Except
happy
Diver,
times.
Except Diver Girl looks kind of tore up from the floor up. Well, she's 23 and looks 40.
Yeah.
So
Dan leaves because Alice is sad or something. I forget exactly.
She's freaking out at the restaurant.
And so you get Dan and Freddy in the truck. Because Dan nods off, and then Dan ends up on a motorcycle.
And we get our first of two incredibly stripped-down kills.
Yeah, and this is Dan becomes Tetsuo the Motorcycle Man, which is the start of Freddy sucking dick. Because this gives us...
I love Dan's death sequence.
The death
sequence? That thing is fucking awesome. And, like, the Freddy head in the motorcycle saying, this boy feels the need for speed. I loved it. I don't care how cheesy it is. That fucking sequence
The
rocks.
Death is fine, but in addition to saying, this boy feels the need for speed, they just have Freddy going, fuel injection! Power drive! fast lane. Like, those are neither jokes nor puns nor quips.
Yeah,
he's just saying things that cars are related to.
He kind of sounds like he sounds like the announcer for a racing game.
Yeah, exactly. It does. It sounds like an NES era racing game announcer where they have six things that are just on a loop.
So you have
those are dumb as fuck. I would rather watch this transformation with just Dan's screams. And it would be much
cooler. I was so absorbed into watching Dan become part motorcycle that I just couldn't care less if Freddy was just like, boner time, happy pants, cream corn. Like, he could say anything and I wouldn't have given a fuck.
This is what I mean when I say everything about this except Freddy is rocking. This is where he starts acting really cartoony too, like with the exaggerated shrugs and the kind of tiptoeing and
the mincing about.
Yeah, that's just being like a Warner Brothers cartoon character. Like, he starts with the champagne and like uses it to sever his arm, which is cool. But then he goes, "Bad year, Dan."
Yeah.
And he starts to sound like a professional wrestler. And
he gets into his, like, Hulk Hogan.
Everything he says is in all caps. His makeup looks like shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was surprised that the cut that I got of this movie wasn't the extended cut, because there are longer versions of the motorcycle death and the...
And Greta's kill.
Greta's.
Which one do we have with that box set, Adam? Do we have the...
We have theatrical.
Do we? Okay, interesting. No, I kind of want
to... There is a version out there where there's a lot more gore.
If you want to see the extended, you can just go on YouTube.
I was going to say, I'm sure it's just on YouTube. I'll have to look it up.
So we go to Greta at the dinner with her parents, and again, just that...
Well, before that, though, we have Alice in waking up and having her friend be like, "You're just a little pregnant." Which is one of the perhaps best
ones. Okay, honey, you're just a little pregnant.
I still love when the, like... seeing the car wreck and seeing dead Dan and just, "Hey, Alice, want to make babies?" still awesome.
We have...
Freddy's quips are okay when they're coming out of somebody else.
Oh, we do. We have the cheap Freddy scare where the semi-driver hops out and looks enough like Freddy with the smoke and his hat down.
Yeah.
And then when she gets there, she's like, "Ah! Oh, wait, no, it's just some dude." Also, I think this is when we first see Jacob. And I had to write, just, "Fuck you, Jacob, you're creepy in every movie ever," because that fucking kid is just creepy.
What else is he in? He's not Gage from Pet Sematary.
No, but that's another kid that is creepy. No, Jacob's in...
He had a little bit of Malachi in him.
Yeah, I'll try to IMDb it later. But he's in like three or four movies, and he always plays the kind of sullen, creepy kid.
Well, you'd have to.
That kid at that time.
Genetic, that face. So then we're into Greta's death.
Then you go to that,
Could have played better in the extended cut, where it becomes clear that he's feeding her, like, straight out of her gut. He's just, like, disemboweling her and putting, instead of just, like, the doll. But it's still, like, open wide.
Yeah.
You are what you eat.
There's a dude sitting at the table wearing a blue suit that drew my eye in every scene where he's visible, because he's creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the true villain of this movie, and this whole thing is a ruse, because that guy is...
Riot.
Yeah, that guy is just fucking nightmarish to me. I don't know what he was doing or how he got on set, but he is creepy as fuck. So if you watch this, watch for the guy in the blue suit and be horrified.
And then she ends up with her, like, giant distended face that they just keep calling back to, even though it kind of looks like ass.
It looks a little dumb, but her death is really gross. Like, they do a good job of just being like, yeah, that's a shitty way to go.
I like Alice. So, like, Alice opening the fridge, the food gets all rotted. Greta comes, like, halfway out of the fridge and then vanishes.
Yep.
Like,
that was great.
That's why I'll give him the fetus thing, because you can do stuff like that.
Yeah, totally.
Then we're on to...
Mark gets pulled into his drawing...
Yeah, Mark turning into an aha video for a minute.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I think that one's awesome, though. And I have a soft spot for Super Freddy.
Oh, see, that to me is just...
So terrible.
Here's what I just wrote, like, Freddy is such a joke in this movie that it's really just too bad, because I stopped fearing
him. I don't know, maybe, I don't know what it is, but Super Freddy, I relish getting to the black and white Super Freddy moment every time I see Part 5.
Oh,
I love it. That's and then I love so him weird. Splashing him to ribbons. I love it.
Yeah, this just is where it kind of stopped doing anything for me.
I like the idea of him, like, Mark turning into the hero from his comic book. Mm-hmm. That seems like an idea that's really part of the series' DNA. But
I like that it's Wizard Master 2.0.
I really liked Mark's faint and disappear.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Like, that's just a really well-done moment in an otherwise kind of meh movie.
I love the way they keep doing that. Like, Nancy falling through the chair in 3.
Yep.
Then
we have an ultrasound bit, right?
Yeah, like, in the middle of Mark's thing, we have the... So, yeah, Layers of Dreams, Jacob the Creepy Boy. Took me a minute to figure out who Jacob was. What I really like is when the... going into a tunnel of flesh and then into the womb, and I was like, heroine of our movie just vanished up her own hoo-ha. Fascinating. That's great. But then, food and time, soul food for my boy! Stop. Like, it's... I thought it was interesting that the Freddy that I hate is only in 2 of these movies, but he's... God damn it. And then Skateboarding Freddy, Super Freddy, told you comic books was bad for you. Yeah.
We get the scene where they kind of get everybody together like they do in every horror movie to explain to the other people what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And I go, finally, Mark brings up the fact that an abortion solves all of this. Right. Like, Freddy could be defeated by one abortion. Like, this whole movie is just moot. If she just goes, oh yeah, scrape it. Like, problem fucking solved, dream demon contained. Like, like, how many of your friends need to die to offset that one baby? Like, I don't, it drives me nuts.
I do enjoy the way the final showdown plays out, though, even though it is kind of a mishmash of stuff that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
It all looks cool. Like, Freddy turns back into Freddy for a bit, where he just shuts the fuck up and just does his business. It's like, stab him with the devil stroller and run him down the stairs. Toss him in with the 100 maniacs. Turn him into spiders.
Yeah.
Let's go to the, like, M.C. Escher ending of Labyrinth.
Oh, it also has to be pointed out that Alice's doctor calls her dead boyfriend's parents to tell her Alice's personal medical info.
Right, and then Alice's parents are like... boyfriend's parents want to adopt the kid. And
yeah, and they're like, I think the courts will think we have a legitimate claim. I'm like, no. No, they won't.
Like, this is our son's baby, maybe.
Yeah, this is our dead son's baby. We want it. I don't think we want it. Holds up in court. That's just an amazing, baffling scene. I do like that when she goes to Mark's, that he's like, I think I know something. And he pulls out a book that just says Christian mythology. Which, what? Is it too, like, was there a point where the student's like, it's a little weird if you pull out a Bible, so let's go with a book called Christian mythology. What the fuck is that supposed to be? Oh, god damn it. So, yeah.
But we do get that awesome, in the battle, we get what later becomes a great part of the montage of Freddy explaining himself and Freddy versus Jason, and that's Alice with the rebar going, die, motherfucker! And stabs him through the mouth. And I'm like, after seeing that in 5, I'm like, that's a cool part. I wonder if that'll ever be reused in a montage later. No joke. I was like, that's a really cool part. If they ever need to recap the series, I hope that makes it. And then Freddy versus Jason comes along, and it's like, oh, blah, 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 and these people killed me. And I'm just like, die, motherfucker! Like, they're like, yes! It did! Oh, thank you so much!
Oh, I also love that whenever Mark gets pulled into his comic book, he suddenly dresses in cross colors, because 80s.
Right.
Like, I don't remember wearing magenta jeans.
Color him bad, dude.
But, this movie just, it just, blah.
I love some of these sequences so much.
I don't know, because, like, Skateboarding Freddy is awful, Super Freddy's dumb, Mark's death is dumb.
I think the practicals in this movie are totally awesome, and I think they still... I think the practicals in this stand up against any movie as far as the genre is concerned.
Even, like, the Alice Freddy and the Jacob Freddy?
No, I mean like, Dan's motorcycle transform. Like,
no, that's
this one has
like
this
Dan.
One has the biggest, like... Aside from... This one tried to have all their kills be Debbie and 4. And you can tell, you know, like, they really wanted it to be that, but they just didn't have the money to actualize it.
Yeah.
I actually like Amanda's little Freddy moment. I really like Jacob's little Freddy moment where he's, you know, like, yes, Dad, you should teach me how to murder. Because he's playing that part.
No, I know.
I thought that was really cool. Amanda standing there in the background. I actually like the souls coming out the back and kind of dragging him backwards, though that could have been trimmed a little bit, and I had to see stupid puffy cheek lady again, but I thought that was pretty rad. I like turning him back into Baby Voldemort and then just like she picks him up and cradles him, and he vanishes back inside Amanda. So now she's just in charge,
just
of
carrying that burden.
Yeah,
with the arm coming out of the stomach though, and her like fighting it, and the door slamming shut is lovely.
Yeah, that's good. That part I like. I'll give it credit for that.
And Jacob turning back into the baby and going back in her womb, basically.
Yeah,
all of that shit I really enjoyed. Let's see, my note for the end. I like all the stuff with baby Freddy and Amanda. Even the Jacob stuff is neat. I think it's too twisty in the middle. The kills are so bad. It's like model girl, comic strip kid, just is awful start to finish for me. And the parts of the motorcycle dude when Freddy is talking just don't do it for me. And he's like, Freddy is almost all the way to shit town on this one, and for the next one he's going to go all the way.
Yeah.
This one is like a 5 out of 10 soul food for my boys.
I guess I'll give it like I'll give it a 5 and be a little more generous than I think I would have been initially. 5 Tetsuo the Motorcycle Mans.
This one has I have like the odd feeling that this movie probably would have been quite a bit better had they got Rennie Harlan to say yes again. But he had already been hired to do something else, and he decided to move on from the franchise. I think he actually had a bad experience with Bob Shea, like most people do.
Mm-hmm.
And
who came on to direct this one?
Actually, this one I have no idea.
Is this the one that was... Because I know there was one where, like, on the documentary, the guy's like, yeah, I just kind of whatever, and I did it.
It was I just kind of...
Because there's a guy that literally just kind of says, I just shits on it. It's like, yeah, whatever, it was a thing, and they were cranking him out, but whatever, it was a payday.
It was probably like, okay, this guy, because 6 was Rachel Talalay.
Yeah, so it might have been this one, because like, the guy just comes off as like kind of a dick. And it's like, wow, like you had a chance to helm like a major franchise that was raking in money, and you just didn't give a fuck about it.
Well, it like, is like,
to bury it.
This is very much the as far as you can take it. Like, the next one is going to have to kill him off, because it is just...
The writing's on the wall.
We don't give a shit anymore.
It's the British music video director. Yeah. That's who it is.
Yep, that is the guy that was the dick.
They shoot it in... They shot in 4 weeks. They finished the script right before they shot it.
Yep.
And it just shows, like, nobody who was making this movie gave a shit about it.
Yeah, there was no love for this anymore.
Including England, I feel like. Because it seems like he's kind of
well, I'm fatigued. Sure the behind the scenes here was not pleasant, so he was just like, okay, I guess I'm just going to punch in and punch out, you know.
So
he did direct Predator 2, so I'll give him that.
What was your rating on this one, Adam?
This one I don't like as much as I like 3 and 4, and so therefore I'm going to have to go ahead and say it's probably a 6.5 out of 10 amazing practicals, yet kind of weak movies out of 10.
I would say that you enjoy the practical magic.
Oh.
Probably not the film, the practical magic.
Oh, wow. I could feel the sadness from Matt when you said that.
Wait, did you at some point get forced to watch that movie?
Oh, I've seen that movie many times.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yep.
Is it not even me? And I've seen like both Sex and the City movies in the fucking theater.
Wow.
But when my wife was watching Practical Magic, I like fell asleep for a while and then just kind of woke up and, is this... Fuck this. It just like walked off. Even I am too manly to watch this fucking movie. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Nightmare on Elm Street 6, Freddy's Dead. Alright, so number 6, Maria no Kaede Elm 6, Freddy está muerto. The 90s stick has hit this franchise hard at this point. Like, even there's a certain ineffable quality that I can't describe from like the movies that are very clearly 80s to movies that are very clearly 90s. Like, there's a grunginess to this. Yep, Chet just laid it down. Yeah, there's a like a grunginess to everything, a more cynical feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fucking Goo Goo Dolls are on the soundtrack.
Yep, and that's... I was looking like, is that the Goo Goo Dolls, or is that... and there were, like, two bands, and I didn't bother to watch in the credits to see, but... Yeah. The thing that, like, 10 years from now, there are no kids left in Springwood except this one kid on a plane...
Yeah.
It's like, both fascinating and implausible. Like, it's an interesting device that, like, okay, with no one left to be the chosen one, like, Freddy just kind of keeps picking off kids.
Yeah.
Well,
and, like, that's a cool idea in a way.
What I really like is that through further, they don't explicitly state it in the film, but through interviews and everything else with screenwriters and stuff, Alice and Jacob flee Springwood.
Which, yeah, I had to assume that they just...
Which is just like, that's awesome. Freddy failed, and like, I also dig the fact that it's like, okay, Freddy failed, and he let them get away because he just wasn't ready to have another Nancy just beating his ass all over the dream world.
Right.
Because Alice is the only one who beats him twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know? Like, everyone loves Nancy, and they love Kristen, but it's Alice is the one who actually does the ass-kicking.
Yeah,
like,
which is weird, because she's, I think, a far less interesting character, but she gets shit done. So, I guess I want her on my team.
She got the crazy Sissy Spacek eyes, and she gets shit done.
And they wrote her out of Freddy vs. Jason, which makes me really sad.
Aww.
Aww.
Lisa Wilcox was interviewed about it and asked why she wasn't in it, and she's like, well... So he's like, I signed on for it, because they're originally going to have her be the first person that Freddy kills when he gets his powers back.
Which would make sense, yeah.
So.
Huh.
But, so Freddy's dead.
So before we get into this movie, let's talk about the movie that we could have had, which is...
Oh, man, this makes me sad.
Peter fucking Jackson, at the height of his horror phase, had written a script for this. Which starts with Freddy aging and growing weak in the dream world. The teens of Springwood have drug-fueled slumber parties for kicks where they just go in dreams and kick the shit out of him because he's grown weak. Like, that is a cool start to a movie.
Peter Jackson using series-related drugs. They hypnosil.
Yeah.
Or they use over, like, tons of hypnosil, which has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
I guess if you overdose on it, you dream way harder.
Oh, nice.
Is what was the original script. And then apparently they had a thing called the coma pit in there, too. They had this really weird dream world that Peter Jackson created.
And they were going to bring the dream warriors back as the dream police, so they could bring in the song by whoever?
Dokken.
Dream Police is Cheap Trick, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cheap Trick just has a song called The Dream Police.
I love that it's like... The fact that Freddy's built on fear and no one's scared of him, and they just go in there and roll him
exactly,
like a bomb,
yeah,
like Clockwork Orange style. And the fact that whole dynamic, I'm like, wow, what a cool idea to completely flip it on its head. And then to have him accidentally kill one of them in the melee, and people are like, oh shit, he killed him. Oh my god, his powers are real. And people will start to get scared, and Freddy starts building back up. How fucking cool would that be as a movie?
That's a really cool movie.
It has the kind of the hook that New Nightmare hangs on, but in the world instead of meta.
Yeah.
So instead of, like, you get these Incredibad scripts, and the super awesome, and then you go, well, actually, what we need to do is give it to the guy who kind of fucked up in 5 in our, like, rush job to make a little hack Elm Street movie. The, like, last gasp of this franchise we're going to give to the guy who fucked the dog in 5. So that's what we could have had. What we got is, Freddy 1, all the kids in Springwood are dead. It takes place 10 years from now. Which just keeps changing, I guess. So now it's 2023. Nobody has iPhones. It's weird.
The scene on the plane and stuff is like, you get these weird nods to The Twilight Zone and then Wizard of Oz and then a very Princess Bride rolling down a hill. There's some weird shit happening in that opening that is just, it feels like a pastiche of other movies this guy liked.
Yeah. Oh, this is when I said Freddy now sounds like a pro wrestler, when I'll get you my pretty and your little soul too.
Yeah.
I love, though, that the, like, falling out of the airplane, wakes up in bed, opens the door to the house, and now the house is in, like, high orbit, and he's falling.
Can we all agree, though, that while this movie may not hit as high as the others, it does have a fat old woman telling the kid to not be a pussy, and then she just gets ripped out of the airplane?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The one last touch for the Peter Jackson shit. In Never Sleep Again, you get to see them talk about how they turned down Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we probably should have just went Peter Jackson's script. And it's just, they just feel so dumb about it. And then Bob Shea's like, yeah, we probably should have done it. But hey, we got him to go ahead and direct that bajillion, gazillion dollar franchise Lord of the Rings for us. So, you know, water under the bridge or whatever. Who cares? Money. And then just, like, leaves.
Just burns a $100 bill and walks away.
Yeah, wipes his ass with one and blows his nose with one. And the same one, which is really the
yeah. And as we mentioned briefly earlier, by this time Freddy is pink.
Yeah,
he is pink and relatively smooth. He looks like if you sculpted a Freddy mask out of Big League Chew. Like, it's just, he is in no way a burn victim anymore. He's not remotely menacing. He's just a dude with a mask.
Oh, and we get Bob Shea's cameo as the ticket. You wanna be late for the bus, boy?
God damn it.
Because Bob Shea just can't stop being in him. Because he's in the fourth one, too.
Yeah.
Who's he in the fourth one?
He's the teacher who's talking about dream mythology.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep.
So let's point out, after the, like, falling down a hill for a full minute... And he gets hit by the bus and is on the bus and stops. The whole, he like gets knocked out of reality, like dream world into reality, and leaves a hole that's shaped like a cartoon kid.
Yeah.
Which just kind of signposts what this has become. Like, it's a cartoon.
I don't know. And that sequence, though, I like the him getting punched through reality. I mean the whole being a kid shaped is whatever. I mean, I can get where they're, you know, kind of where you guys don't like it. I do like it. I like that whole sequence where it's just, because then we get a little bit of a Freddy moment and be a good little dog and go fetch.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, like there, that, I'm like, there he is. He's still in there.
Yeah,
well, like, you know,
it's,
that,
like, it's not Robert Englund. It's clearly what he's working with.
Yeah,
you know, it's like Freddy's still in there. It's just that. What we have to work with is not very Freddy.
Yeah.
It's, well, I think you can even deliver, like, I'll get you, my pretty, and your little soul, too. Like, that's kind of a, yeah, we both know this reference, kid. Instead of, I'll get you, my pretty, and your little soul, too. But snap into a Slim Jim.
Isn't that, I mean, that line is delivered very similar to how...
As Margaret Hamilton would.
Yeah.
But see, it's cooler if Freddy doesn't do that, right? Like,
yeah. So we end up,
I mean, I'm not trying to. I think that line's stupid. I'm just saying that it's just kind of like I'm trying to play devil's advocate here.
Sure.
Probably the second weakest, agreeably the second weakest in the entire series.
Yes.
Yeah. So we go to a juvenile shelter with a bunch of kids. We have the someone go. We're going to do a dream therapy, and someone's like, "Oh, you're such a hippie." Like, that is a really
good old Yaphet Kotto hanging out there.
But then it's like, oh, good, like, lame emotional.
I was killed by an alien once.
Yeah, because we get a bunch of kids that are not good at what they're doing.
Yeah, basically, you're a girl who doesn't like to be touched, and God, I wonder what her big secret is.
Right.
And Breckenmeyer as a stoner, because he has to be. Kind of a stoner terrorist, though.
Yeah, a weird little anarcho-punk.
Yeah, kid with making pipe bombs and smoking dope.
Yeah.
Carlos, who his whole... defining thing is that he's deaf.
Yep.
All we really know about him, like, yeah, you're in the asylum because you're deaf. Your parents are just like, I ain't gonna have no deaf kid deafing up my house.
Well, isn't he more of like he was remanded to the state because his mom jammed the shit in his ear and made him deaf?
Yeah,
like his mom physically, like his
still
mom,
funny when mom shoved him. Q-tip in his ear. Yeah. We get that awesome moment where. Dude fella is in the padded cell, and his padded cell version of him screams at the regular him, "Free me, you idiot! I'm your fucking memory!" Which is like, cool, way to take that metaphor you were doing and explain it to us.
Real,
like,
wait a minute, I think he doesn't subtle. Know who he is.
He doesn't. It turns out.
It's, oh my god, it's, "Free me, you idiot, I'm your fucking memory."
So we have, he thinks that he's Freddy's son. Damn it. Even though you can see where, at what point Freddy was actually alive.
Yeah.
And would be having kids and know that he's at least 10 years too young to be Freddy's son.
Yeah.
And turns out the therapist, spoiler, is Freddy's daughter.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
But long before that, we get to go to Springwood and go to a town fair where fucking Roseanne and Tom Arnold show up.
Yeah.
Because fucking Roseanne and Tom Arnold
And Springwood
show up.
Is now, like...
Also, fuck Roseanne and Tom Arnold.
Right.
Okay, I think I'm done.
And? Fuck Tom Arnold and Roseanne.
Oh, shit. Way to turn it on its ear.
And Springwood has turned into shit town. Like, the town got fucked so hard that it...
It's like in Back to the Future,
like,
there's the clean version.
Frontier days... version where, like, the main street of the town doesn't even look paved.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this small town that, instead of a suburb that it always was, like, it was always a California suburb.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. But, yeah, it's completely different town where everything's fucked and there are no kids and all the grown-ups are crazy.
And so they set up carnivals that no one goes to.
Yeah. So, and the therapist lady decides, because she's a professional, to take John Doe with her to explore to try and spark his memory, and let the other three juvenile delinquents have the fucking van. Like, now
go to the shelter.
You go drive back to the shelter now. Like, the funny thing is, they seem like they're going to.
Yeah, it does seem like they're like, okay. Like, what happened to the pipe bombs?
Yeah,
kid?
I may be making pipe bombs, but you know, I'm not going to like steal them.
And here's a moment that has kind of weirded me out for a long, long time with the kid driving around the van. I very vividly remember my cousins, because I was too young to go see this in the theater, and my mom wouldn't let it happen. I very vividly remember being told by my cousins how cool the scene is where the statue turns and tells them to run and get out of town. And I've never been able to pull that footage down. And I've like searched, and I've seen like different forum posts that are like, oh yeah, I remember seeing the statue talk. And then people are like, that's bullshit, that never happened.
I've never seen that version. Whoa.
And it's just like, no! Is it real? Or is it fake? Someone give me closure for once.
I wonder if that's one of those urban legends that's just, you know, someone started it and that shit just manages to spread.
I just figured that the internet would be awesome and be like, yep, it's not real. But then you go, oh, no, it's real. It's like, you sons of bitches.
Fuck you, 4chan.
It's like trying to learn about Morgaeons or something.
Huh. That would be kind of cool. I mean, I think it's actually one of the well-done things in the movie is them just showing them going in different directions at that one turn and then always pulling right up next to the thing. And yeah. Barely, you know, it's almost a callback to the repeat with Alice and Dan running to the truck.
Yeah.
Except they're not just reliving the same moment. They're actually just kind of getting stuck in the same spot, and they almost don't seem aware of it for a while.
Yeah.
The map says we're fucked.
Yeah.
I really like him unfolding the map and just unfolding it until it fills the van.
He
and
gets
then
a little too panicked a little too
out.
Soon about the paper just being bigger than he thought it would be.
What the fuck? This map is huge.
Ohio was deaf. Way bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
So they end up in Elm Street House.
Yep.
And
which has a different address, I think, in this movie than all the other ones.
Is it not 1428?
It's 27, I think, in other ones.
No, it's 28.
It's 1428.
There's one movie where it was a different address.
No, there's one where they're across the street.
Well, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
In 27.
Okay.
But yeah, I remember seeing the 27, too.
So the blood effect on the door is fucking awesome. Like, I really like that.
I don't remember that.
It's just, it starts kind of oozing down once they shut the door, and it's super subtle and just plays perfectly.
It is, like, it requires you to go, oh, okay, they ended up at the Elm Street house. Oh, okay, they decide to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, it's still furnished, and this kid decides to lie down on the bed, like the dusty bed, and take a nap. At that point, like, I talk about currency a lot. This movie is using its credit card.
Yeah. Yeah.
A whole bunch, and hitting the credit limit. Like, not only are you spending currency you don't have.
And as much as I complain about Freddy becoming silly, Freddy dancing around behind Def Carlos is really fun.
I like everything about the Carlos.
It is so concept.
The screaming and like the tap dance, like jumping, like arm twirling.
It's like the you can't do shit. Like, he's having so Ooh. Much fun.
And like, I do love the. Oh, when he like is opening up the chalkboard, like, what an asshole!
Yeah, because to me that's silly, but it's also he's inspiring dread, and that's what we always talked about. Freddy liked to do; he wanted to scare you before he killed you.
Well, I think it's rooted more deeply in Carlos's psyche than it is for anybody else in mm-hmm. 5 or 6.
Yeah,
where the like his trauma of having his ears punched out by his mom, and then just having the hearing aid suddenly be too strong and this kind of gross effect in his ear.
Yeah.
And so that made it like the dropping the pin and then dropping the handful of pins less of just like cartoonish silliness and more.
Well, this is the Debbie kill.
This goes straight to his fears.
Yeah, this goes right to the core of his.
So it's not just for fun. I did think it was kind of silly. It was a little too over the top with the chalkboard, but I did enjoy it.
I still had fun with that.
And of course, by the end, though, he has to end with, nice hearing from you, Carlos!
Yeah, yeah.
At which point he sounds like Beetlejuice.
I have to say, though, Josh, you are doing an awesome late set Freddy impersonation. I'm fucking just floored by how good it is.
It's kind of sad that does sound exactly like it.
It's chilling how good it is.
It is bizarre. Like, we should do some side-by-side line reads. It'd be pretty great. The So Breckenmeyer lays on the couch and smokes pot.
Yeah.
And just like every time I've ever smoked pot and everyone else on the planet starts hallucinating because that's what pot does.
That's right.
Well, he falls asleep. We'll give him that.
What the fuck? Get your drugs right. Like, have him be an acid head if you want him to hallucinate.
Here's what I really like. Well, I mean, I think it's funny because it means that Freddy doesn't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't know what drugs are
but
and how
also
they work.
The character doesn't, because it's not like he knows he fell asleep and now is having hallucinations. He thinks he's watching TV and shit's going sideways. He should know this is not what happens when I smoke pot.
It's that Empire Records pot that makes you hallucinate.
Can we touch on the fact
that they got Johnny Depp to do a cameo?
I love that cameo.
It's a terrible idea, though, to remind me of Nightmare on Elm Street 1 while I'm watching 6.
Yeah, but it's nice that they have some kind of touchstone
to
that.
Now, the question I have is, I wonder if he did that cameo because of his relationship with Rachel Talalay through the whole, like, you know, she was the production assistant for all the actors on the first film.
Huh.
So, I mean, she was a production assistant and producer. She's been around the entire series.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad that, you know, this was the movie that she got to direct because, you know, she was so in touch with the series and she got to direct the shitty one.
Yeah.
They keep building some cool stuff and then pissing it away. Like, I like Freddy's, yeah, what are you on? Looks like a frying pan and some eggs to me.
Yeah.
For the any questions.
Yeah.
Then Inagata DeVita starts, like, seriously? It couldn't have been, like, fish or some shit. But then him getting sucked into the TV looks fantastic.
It looks good. The video game shit also.
Yeah, then the video game shit is... I had remembered that every
I do like the big fucking 8-bit dad. Be like me. Be like me. Just like, and then like a whole pit of dads. And be like me.
I do like the way I remember this scene every time. And maybe it'll stick this time. I always remember when they go into video game land that it is 8-bit looking. And that you get an 8-bit Freddy in there, too. And that just doesn't happen.
No. I was going to say, like, it looks more like Dr. Katz than
it looks like Flash animation or something.
Whole movies, you know?
Yeah. Like, you get shitty animation that's supposed to look like it's a video game.
Yeah.
But then we get that one part where Freddy says, now I'm playing with power, and then he turns, and he cashes a check from Nintendo.
Does he really?
I didn't notice that part.
Like, that's fucking...
It's just like, now I'm playing with power. Right, say Freddy Krueger, and then you write it, then I'll sign the check, and then I'll deposit it. And then he turns back, and then he continues the movie, which I thought was incredible that they kept that in there.
You totally just hooked me on that.
I know, both of us are kind of frowning.
I was like, that's the funniest thing ever. Like, that would be the best meta joke to have there subtly be a little thing. And I'm like, oh no, you put this because you're smarter than me.
Yeah, they could have gone the direction of Batman and Robin, where Batman whips out his Bat Visa.
Yeah.
Sadly. Then we get the, like, Looney Tunes sound effects with the kid going wibble, wibble, wibble around. And
then getting stomped on the chest.
It just keeps going, and it's just horrible.
The only part...
And he reminded me how much the Power Glove sucked.
The Power Glove did suck.
He was like, you forgot the Power Glove! Like, this is a thing that, when I was a kid, I was so excited to get, because it was in that movie.
Well, is it because it was so excited as a kid because it was both bad and rad?
Yeah, that's why I wanted it.
Yep.
And
he's a bad enough dude to save President Ronnie.
And it never worked.
No, like, no one
at all.
Only the richest kid you knew had it, and it sucked.
The turbo button was okay, but it was a shitty controller.
We had it. Like, my parents must have saved up over the year to get it for me for Christmas. It was like as much as the console almost. Yeah. And then years later, I read that they had a version of it that worked, but it was too expensive to produce. So they were like, well, we can do it this way, and it barely works, but then we can roll it out.
Yeah. And we'll have to make a movie that's centered around marketing it and Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you try to fucking play Mario Brothers 3 with the Power Glove, because I did, where you're, like, moving your hand sideways and moving it up to jump, and there's this giant lag, and...
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you, movie, for... Shit economy there.
And letting Adam totally snow us.
So we also get Freddy's makeup actually gets better with every soul that he eats. So that made me wonder, like, did you start out shitty on purpose? Or am I giving you too much credit? But it does seem like it looks better after every kill.
I'm curious.
Now when he kills kids, it erases them from existence and nobody remembers them.
Yeah, that's also weird.
So, they avoid funeral scenes, I guess?
Yeah. There was a... there is just like one line here that I was like, man, I wish they had not wasted this in this crappy, crappy movie, which is every town has an Elm Street.
Yeah.
And like that is such an awesome, like, yeah, this isn't going to end here. That's, you know, he wanted someone.
I know they used that line in the last, the quote unquote last one.
Yeah. It's like, that's such a great thing of like, yep, cool. Like if he's now met some kids from outside of Springwood, he can go back to where they are, have a whole other town.
Right.
You know, he's like a plague and he'll just keep taking over. Like, that's a cool and chilling idea, and we just drop it into this piece of shit movie. With an Alice Cooper cameo as Freddy's stepdad,
yeah,
which I'd totally forgotten about.
I forgot that we have to see how people were mean to Freddy when he was a kid.
To give him
and his dad was abusive. Oh. Which, none of it, like, it seems like Freddy was just a shithead from day one anyway, so I'm not sure why we have to pile that on.
Yeah, I think that's just completely unnecessary.
Yeah, it's like, couldn't we just stop at the Bastards Son of 100 Maniacs and just let it rip?
Yeah,
after
I think
that?
That's cool. Like, that's as much as you need. And you could even go on without that, and it'd be fine.
But no, it's like, we gotta empathize with them. It's like, no, we don't.
No, the
dude's a fucking pedophile who kills kids. Why the fuck would we have to empathize with this dude?
Yeah. Throwing that and then the, like, the molesto dad in there is just stabs at... Like, I'm sorry, but you don't get to have molesto dad and childhood trauma serial killer in the same movie as your, like, video game with Looney Tunes sound effects.
Yeah.
It just... You gotta decide where you're going with it. Then Johnny gets killed, falling onto the pit of spikes after Freddy cuts his parachute in the dream.
Yep.
And we figure out that our therapist lady is Freddy's daughter. Get some...
Do you think I'm your daddy? Nope. Wrong!
Now you're doing it. Now that you've pointed out that you like the way I was doing,
I like the whole
him
floating in the top of the parachute.
No.
Like, I don't, like... There's parts of his cartoony shtick that I'm like, wow, this works really well in him, and not like in a menacing cartoon character kind of way, you know, like an evil Bugs Bunny. Like,
yeah.
this works for me.
It's the,
parts of it do.
The full throated roar that doesn't work. Like, you can get the "Welcome to Primetime, bitch," but if that had happened in 5 or 6, it would have been "Welcome to Primetime, bitch."
Yeah, and then it's really dumb.
Well,
yeah,
he actually yells it in 3.
But it doesn't sound as...
Right,
it's not
modulated, but
pro
he does
wrestler roar.
It.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about pro wrestling, only that sometimes they talk like that.
We need
I don't want to get back
we
into
need
it.
A supercut of all the times Freddy says bitch, because I feel like after 3, they go, oh, he should just say bitch a lot.
Yeah.
He hates women.
Bitch had to take her medicine for interfering with daddy's special work. It doesn't work. none of it. So the dream doctor at the end figures out that there are these dream monsters. It amazes me watching the credits that somebody took credit for designing those puppets and animating them.
Yeah.
Because they are the shittiest looking Sleestak, Land of the Lost, motherfucking 30 years later. Like, 30 years after Land of the Lost and Star Trek, we get these things
Clash of the Titans.
That look like just absolute balls. Like, couldn't you... You come up with so many scary visuals over the course of this franchise, and that is seriously the best you can do, is these fucking tadpoles with their giant bug eyes and their little smiles?
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
I thought it was really funny that Freddy doesn't really know, like, their titles or what they do. It's like, the dream people who gave me this job.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's weird.
My name
like,
is
he just
Todd.
Like, I don't know.
Todd Dream
dude,
People.
Yes. Some guys were like, hey, we got this company. We need you to live forever in dreams, and, like, you're going to kill people. Are you into that? Is that something you could do for us? And they're like, yeah. He's like, well, what is, like, the retirement plan? And he's like, well, there isn't one, and there's no dental either. And then Freddy's like, I'm in.
Well, no, he says, I want it all!
I want it all!
See, if he had just gone into that Queen song... We're making a better
like,
movie.
And then he stops and he goes, I want it now. And that would be the perfect end of that scene.
God damn it.
So she puts on the fucking 3D glasses, which, thanks.
Which I had from my box set, and I watched it in 3D.
Did you punish your eyes with the Anaglyph 3D?
I did. I did watch it in 3D because I was like, fuck this, I've got these goddamn glasses, and
dude,
so I'm going to
do
it.
That stuff comes so far negative out of the screen, you're like, oh my god!
Yeah, it's brutal. But no, I did it. I sat through it and was like, yeah, that's necessary. Like, this...
I love that when she wakes up, she goes, "No, everything still looks like it did in my dream." It's like in three dimensions.
Ooh. Wow. Everything's both red and blue simultaneously.
Yeah, so that's pretty painful. And kind
then of we get works, but... we get the like the biggest series break where Freddy has dream powers in the real world, where he's like crawling all over the ceiling and flying around like an asshole. I mean, then we get a kung fu fight.
First,
where
we use
all of those weapons that were mentioned earlier.
Yeah, first, we got to go to the subway station of dreams with the like electrified copper door of dreams.
I like that she uses Rachel Talalay's description bracelet. Of it.
Go ahead,
Mr. Toad's wild ride on acid.
She goes in and she sees this whole like an end of Freddy's memory where baby Freddy kills a hamster and the kids tease him for being the son of 100 maniacs. You know what? Bastard son of 100 maniacs sounds awesome. When a single person says it in a hushed tone.
Yeah.
With the kids going, son of 100 maniacs. Like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Well, also, just, what asshole told all these people that?
Yeah.
Mom doesn't need to tell everyone the origin story of her pregnancy. Move to a different town. Go, yeah, that's my kid. Single mom. Dad died in the war.
Yeah.
You're done. Like, no one teases it. Why would you like, well, let's go meet the neighbors. Here's a pot pie. Also, my son was born after I was raped by an entire asylum.
Well, I think it would be more mom going,
100 people fucked me that
now
day.
Remember, honey, little Fred is the bastard son of 100 maniacs, but we don't want to mention it in front of him because that'll make him feel bad.
Yeah, just like walking into his classroom the first day of school. Here's your new classroom, Fred. You know, he's really sensitive about the bastard son of 100 maniacs thing, so if you could not bring that up on tests or quizzes, he'd probably appreciate it. And he's just, like, facepalming, like, Mom, why?
And, like, not only do they bring it up, but later on they even have a class called Freddy 101 in Springwood, which, by the way, I would love to take that class because it's, like, 14 and 192 Freddy sailed the ocean blue. I'm just like, wow, this class is awesome. It's just history with Freddy in it. Great.
He's like riding through Boston, going, the British are coming! Brother?
Hey, bitch! Yeah, the Redcoats are bitch, coming! Yeah.
The British are coming, bitch!
Regret that I have only one life to give for my country, bitch! Yeah.
We
have nothing
great
to fear but fear itself, bitch!
That's one small step for
me. Could you imagine? Could you imagine FDR Freddy with a little fucking blanket over his legs?
Oh yeah, I'm down with FDR Freddy and Neil Armstrong Freddy. With the glove on the astronaut suit.
And sitting on top of the blanket in the wheelchair.
Yep.
Oh, we made a way better movie.
Like, Freddy in the book depository shooting down at Kennedy. Kennedy in the car is Freddy too. And Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, like, crawling across the
Jacqueline
car. Jacqueline
Kruger Onassis, I believe you mean.
Also Freddy. Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald. They're both Freddy!
Sirhan is Freddy.
So is Bobby Kennedy. In a way, Freddy is all of us, and this is what this movie's taught us. Freddy is all of us, and all of us are shitty-looking sperm demons. Well, Matt is, at least. So, after suffering through the shitty childhood montage, we get him in the shed getting burned up, which wasn't he in the boiler room when he got burned up?
That was my understanding.
Yeah, fucking their continuity, and then the adorable little dream tots circling his head going, open up and you shall be forever. Like, kappa. Hey.
You don't live ever? I was like, why does that one sound like that?
There was one of them that was actually, Freddy, do you want to live forever? Do you want to learn how to fly? And then Freddy's like, yeah, they better remember my name, bitch.
Oh, man, it's just a whole bunch of different songs.
And the final fight is so lackluster and just kind of shrug-inducing, and ending with stabbing him in the chest with a pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Now, kids, I don't think that even using all of my weight behind it, and that is a considerable amount of weight, that I could stab you with even a pool cue, which is a thing that is, like, taper. It tapers a bit, but it's still not sharp. The fucking pipe bomb is, like, as big around as a half dollar.
As big around as, like, say, a pipe.
Yeah, some would say. But it has a cap on the end of it, so it's not even, like, a sharp ring of something you could
conceivably... Well, it's bigger than a pipe, though, because it's got a fitting on the end. So yeah, exactly.
It's roughly the size of a pipe with a fitting on the end, because that's what it is.
The pipe bomb was roughly pipe bomb sized.
Could you describe the pipe bomb? It looked like a pipe.
There's two fittings on the end.
It turns out it was a bomb.
What the fuck happened to us in the last 10 minutes?
Dude, we're thinking about is historical Freddy now. This whole show has been derailed by our thoughts of historical
Freddy. I want Napoleon
Freddy.
To pull his hand out of his coat and it's got the glove on it. Oh my god, this would be so good. We need to make a subreddit.
God almighty, we're free at last, bitch.
Six separate Tyrannids, bitch.
We didn't land up Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us, bitch.
Come on, Freddy Krueger King, though.
Just Freddy is all historical figures all the time.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I did not have sexual relations with that bitch.
Oh, shit.
All right, finish it strong.
Oh, shit. So, shitty explosion, shitty 3D Freddy head who opens his mouth, and there's another shitty 3D Freddy head.
Yeah.
Wait, before that, kids, right? Yeah. Shitty 3D Freddy head, shitty 3D Freddy head. Shitty dream demon worms come out and go, where? We don't know. And then fucking she goes.
They come out, they laugh like Muppets. Like, yeah. They're flat.
It's like the Statler
they're like,
and Waldorf.
They're like fucking, yeah, fucking Statler and Waldorf. Dude, they're fucking flying around.
Oh, that would have been much better.
Oh, Freddy.
This movie was terrible. But at least it's over. And then fucking the therapist lady looks like fucking dead at camera and goes, Freddy's dead. And credits. Yep.
Nice montage of deaths in the credits.
The thing, though, is like that line wasn't supposed to be Freddy's dead. That line was supposed to be her. In the script, it says Maggie / Catherine looks at camera and says titular line. She just says the words titular line, but she read that as she had to say Freddy's dead.
That would have been great.
Mm-hmm. Let's write it, everyone.
An album called Eponymous.
Titular line. And then the movie just ends.
It should have ended on a freeze frame. Where you're like,
with a high
Freddy's
five.
Freddy's dead.
Yeah! Yep. You know, as she walks away with a scarf tied around her boot. Yeah, exactly.
Forget about
I'm
Freddy.
Awake now. Get out of here, Goo Goo Dolls.
Go home, Goo Goo Dolls. You're drunk.
I don't want the world to see me. We don't want the world to see you either. I don't think that they'd understand. They probably wouldn't.
But I'm
the Goo Goo Dolls
now.
Are also Freddy. So,
get yeah, out of here.
I won't tell no one your name, bitch.
Yeah, so it's a really sad capper on the series.
Yeah, it makes me happy that New Nightmare and Freddy vs. Jason happened, because it's a shame to see how far we sink. This is one I'm learning to appreciate moments from my mentor, Adam Dunn.
you five, like parts of things, you traitor.
Five had some, like, a preponderance of good moments over shitty ones. This one just has, like, some of the business with Carlos plays,
yep.
Some of the business with John Doe plays, and the rest of it is just so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like a 3.5, maybe 3.5 out of 10, now you're playing with power.
Yeah, honestly, I think the parts I dig are Carlos and then just the line, every town has an Elm Street, so I'm going to go, like, two power gloves out of 10.
Sure.
I will give it, since I think it's... I'm trying to remember back to what I rated 2. It has to rate higher than 2, but it can't rate above a 5.
I enjoy watching 2 more.
So, I'll give it 4 historical Freddies out of 10.
The thing is, in the... As far as wasted potential goes, I think... History has to be more kind to 2, because that was like they hadn't quite figured out what Freddy was going to do, so somebody took a chance on doing this different thing that ended up not really working and just lacked the foresight to know that that was going to work. With 6, like, there was a formula established where you can at least do a decent one of these.
You could always just make another one.
Yeah, and instead of doing that, they went for broke with just kind of making it shitty.
Yep.
So, like, in terms of... Like, not in terms of overall quality, but definitely in terms of wasted potential, 6 is the most disappointing. Except for the remake, but we'll get there, too. I don't know, the remake has some great shit in it, too.
I haven't seen it since the theater, so I'll be curious to watch it again.
I think part of the point of our little show is to watch stuff we've already seen, but with a critical eye.
Yeah. Although, so, I think we're all pretty critical of that remake.
Well, I just mean, like, knowing I'm going to talk about this, and people are presumably listening, so...
Right.
So we'll take another quick break, and then our assignment for next week is pretty self-evident, but we'll discuss that briefly. I'm looking up Brecken Meyer to see what he's been up to.
Not a lot?
Well, not a whole bunch.
Mm. Sparing for change?
he's been on Robot Chicken a few times.
Hey, there you go.
He did Star Wars Detours, which apparently is not going to happen now. That's depressing. Hmm. He was in The Maiden Heist as Starving Artist, so he's doing all right. He's in Three Geezers, which I don't know anything about, but I hope is a sequel to Three Ninjas, because that was a while ago by now. And ninjas age faster. It's like professional football. You know, you'd retire early. All of this to avoid saying that next week we're going to wrap up our nightmare experience with some films that are officially outside of the canon of the first 6. So Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which is more of a meta exploration of the theme, Freddy vs. Jason, which is not part of the canon opposed, like, I think they actually officially said it's not part of the canon, and the reboot starring Rorschach as Freddy and Rooney Mara as Kristen Stewart as Nancy. So
They disown Freddy vs. Jason? Because in the documentary about it, they all seem to talk very much so that it just kind of like exists in a pocket of time that nobody else really, like, it's part of the whole series, but they just can't figure out where it sits.
Think they've said that, like, they don't like it or anything. They just said it clearly doesn't jive anywhere with the continuity. I mean, I guess you could have a movie that bridges that somehow or addresses it later. If they were to make another one that wasn't a reboot, but supposedly tied into the first series, you could refer back to it and have it kind of fold in. But, yeah, it's like a Marvel or, you know, What If or whatever, like a Elseworlds type thing.
You know, I think 6 would have been stronger if, like, if you're not going to carry anything over from 5, just make a cleaner break than they did. Don't give me, like, Freddy Krueger's daughter and a whole new motivation for him. Mm. Just... kids are having bad dreams, and it's Freddy. Y'all remember Freddy, and he's gonna kill
Pepperidge
some people.
Farm
and
then remembers,
yeah. Then he's gonna get stuck. Pepperidge Farm remembers, bitch.
Damn it,
Wilfred Brimley. It's the right thing to do, bitch.
Diabetes.
Right. Instead of just,
I don't always lose a foot, but when I do, diabetes.
Matt's got full Eddie Murphy on us. He is just...
I've lost my shit.
...laughing to the point of, like, choking at his own joke. We know that you like nothing more than listening to other people laugh, but hopefully you'll watch along with us next week. Kind of part of the goal of the show is revisiting stuff with a critical eye.
Yeah, these will be my least viewed movies. I've watched the first 6 a few times, but I haven't watched these ones nearly as much.
Yeah, I've seen New Nightmare like 3 times, and I've only seen the other 2 once.
Yeah, so I think that's about the same.
Looking forward to a fresh take on these movies, and we'll see you next week.
See everybody.
Bye.